So today's a fun day. We are going to practice urges. Our Done the Recovery Worksheet Lab. We've never done it before. This is all brand new. I'm so stinking excited to do this with you guys. So what we are doing, oh, if anybody would like to know, this is Tracy Lewis. She can probably tell you she's on the call right now. This is from Louie Lou. My lips are all lewd up, looking lewd. Anyway, if y'all want information on this lip gloss, Tracy Lewis will be happy to let you know all about her way to get this lip gloss. I'm going to tell you, it's the best. Like if you love good colors and you love your lips to be moisturized, it's one of my favorites. Y'all know I wear all kinds, but some of her stuff is just come on. Like this one in particular, I love it. All right. Everybody should have food. I actually typed this out. I have instructions for what I want to do. So let me get my instructions up. I don't want to be lost. Let's see. Hang on. I'm trying to figure out where to put my notes. Here we go. All right. Here's what I want everybody to do. So you should have, what this call is going to be about is recovery worksheets and stuff. So what we're really doing is we're going to like dive into food urges. And the recovery worksheet is very often done because we are responding to an urge. Like, I want my French fries. I want to eat more than my two. I want to eat off plan. I want to eat something that I didn't plan, or I'm binging, whatever it is. So the recovery worksheet is such a good tool for you to be able to figure out your shit around food. Guys, the shit you're looking for is not that deep. Stop trying to make it all so deep. Stop trying to make it all so serious and all so hard. All of that is just thoughts. Whatever you think about, like every one of you could just do a general thought download on what do I think about when I make a mistake? What do I think about when I overeat? Whatever you're deciding about that is going to be vital as to if you are going to continue to work on yourself, if you are going to learn from it, if you're going to, I'm rewriting No BS right now, as you guys know, I just wrote the lesson on how do you handle your mistakes. And one of the things that I got to pull it up, it's like a brilliant statement. What mistakes do for us is they outline the path to self-love instead of outlining the path to your self-loathing, which is what most of you are doing. So one of the things, this is not what we're doing tonight, but what I want you guys to do, and I want you to seriously consider, especially for those of you who continue to struggle with doing your recovery worksheets, is I want you to write the story you tell yourself about your overeats. What do they mean about my weight loss? What do they mean about my ability to control myself around food? What am I just making it all mean when I overeat? Because if you have a lot of shit drama going on around your overeats, guys, you're going to avoid working on your overeats because why would you work on something if the only thing you're telling yourself is I'm broken, it's horrible. You will avoid doing the work to fix the situation, to just fix the overeating, to avoid the self-loathing that you do around it. So we have to move on from that. And what that means, it's very simple. When I talk about moving on from it, it does not mean the self-loathing thoughts go away. It means you've got to bring them up first. There's nothing wrong with those thoughts. There's nothing terrible. Like you're not batshit crazy or broken or whatever. Like you're going to have the story I tell myself around my mistakes. And then you're going to like do your thought download. Then it's going to be the story I tell myself around my crazy ass thoughts about my crazy ass overeating. Like you're going to have like all of this going on. And then you wonder why it's like, I don't know why I'm not doing jack shit. I don't know why I'm not doing my recovery worksheets. That's why. Because you're making it an incredible shit show about your self-worth, about who you are, and your future, and your abilities. If we just start reprogramming it by thinking, you know what? Here's the deal. I am just going to, like from now on, when I make food mistakes, I'm not tolerating beating myself up anymore. When the thoughts come in like they always do, I'm just going to tell myself, oh yeah, I must have forgot for a moment. I don't talk to myself like that anymore. That's so not productive. You don't argue with them. You don't wish them away. You don't do any of that. Guys, you are going to have the urge to want to make your overeating a big fucking deal. No different than you have urges for food. if you can't say no to the food yet, then learn how to say no to the negativity in your brain so that you get some practice reps on learning how to steer your brain to where you want to go. Okay, so that's my spiel there on the recovery worksheet. So here's what I want to do. I want everybody to take their food out. Whatever food that you got. I know Kathy Hartman has some kind of a beer. She actually knows what we're going to do, and she was like, I'm sad, just to give it all away. All right. First thing I want you to do, guys, is I hope you have pen and paper. If you don't, then I just want you to sit and think. I want you to write down your thoughts you were having about whatever food you chose to have with you right now. If you didn't bring food, it's okay. Guys, just think about a food that you typically binge or you typically overeat or that you would say, like, I have a hard time controlling myself around it. Whatever food you have. The reason why I had all of you bring it is because we're going to do a little experiment with it. And if you don't have that food, you can still participate in this call. You can just think about the food that you have. All right. Somebody's got Taco Bell and wine. That is a good time. Oh my God. That is so awesome. Somebody said, I've already ate the ice cream. So now I'm just thinking of the ice cream. Okay. So you're just going to get it out. And I just want to know what your thoughts are. So I want you to write down whatever it is you're thinking about the food right now. Give me in the chat, give me one or two comments that you guys have, like a couple of thoughts. I see the foods that you guys have. I don't care anymore about this. All right. I want this. It smells so good. My mouth's watering. So that's what's happening. It makes my mouth water. I shouldn't have it. I will overeat it. It's my favorite. It's talking to me. It looks so salty and delicious. Okay. All right. So I want all of you to know that everything that's going on, I will binge. Tater tots are life. That's dramatic. I want you to think about this. Like, y'all, look at the things that you're telling yourself about it. What if you were just like, I will binge and tater tots are for life are the thoughts I used to choose about this. So what I want you guys noticing is just the things that you're thinking about it. This is what happens when we see food. This is what happens when we think about it. Sentences are going to come up from your habit brain. They are just the sentences you've thought in the past. You've reiterated them by never even attempting to change the conversation. I would bet you at least 50% of you, if I said, is that a thought or a fact? You'd be like, well, I know it's a thought, but it feels like a fact, Corinne. I mean, it should be in my C-line. I want you guys to start, number one, practicing the idea of, like, whatever is coming up for you right now is always going to come up for you. And it's just something your habit brain sends up first. You have a conscious brain in your head. And that conscious brain's job is to monitor what the habit brain brings up first. It's like, I want this. I'm going to binge on this. This looks so good. This is like, when do we start eating? Like all the things. Your conscious brain starts taking over. So the second thing I want you to do is I want you to pick the food up. I want you to smell it. I want you to examine it. And I want you to really take a good look over it. I do not want anybody eating it. I don't care how bad you want to eat it. It's a no. Subconsciously, I feel like I'm that kid that went hungry two to three nights a week. And it is so random. I'll do well, then crap. It never just happens and it's never just random. You know why? Because that's a thought that'll just slay you every single time. You're never allowed to believe that anymore. At some point, your conscious brain got your ass up to go eat. Otherwise, you can't go get it. The conscious brain always has to take over. It's either going to be like, okay, we're keeping this thought. Let's go get it. Or it's going to be like, oh, no, we don't think that anymore. Okay. The scent is heaven on earth. Beth, what do you got? Maybe you're the one with the tater tots. Maybe your tater tots are for life. Okay. So you guys you've smelled it, you've picked it up and everything. Now what I want you to do is I want you to think about what is the one feeling you're having right now? What is the most predominant feeling you're having? A feeling is one word. Desire, panic, relief, dread, anticipation, a lot of desire, a lot of fear, a lot of want. Some people are feeling comforted. confused, anticipation. Somebody feels out of control. So far, like, all right, everybody stop. If you're actually eating it right now, type in the Q&A. I'm actually eating it, even though we've said we're not eating it right now. I just want to see how many of us are actually eating. So put that in the Q&A. Some of us are feeling guilty with their food around them. Somebody already ate it right before the call. Okay, that's fine. So type in the chat if you actually, like, I examined it, I looked at it, we've talked about it, I've ate it. One person said they licked it. Okay. No, we've had one lick and we've had one person eat before the call. That's it. Nobody typed in the Q&A. The reason why I'm telling you this is a lot of you are having desire, want, confusion, anticipation, all hosts of things. Stop eating, Heather. Like, literally, stop eating. If anybody is eating right now, please stop. So Heather says, I'm having right now. Just set it down. Dee Dee, I drank one before we started. That's fine. We're talking about what we're doing right now. Anybody else? Anybody else actually eating or licking their food right now? If you are, you stop. Seriously. And if you can't, the reason I want you to put it in the Q&A is because no one will see but me. None of you cohorts are going to see it if you put it in the Q&A. All right. Now, all of you, whatever it is you're feeling and what's going on, I want everyone to close their eyes. And if you start typing, I know you won't be doing this exercise. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to spend the next minute noticing what's going on in your body. I want you to check your breathing, your muscles, your stomach, if you're wiggling, your eyelashes, all of it. All right, now what I want you to do is I want you to write on a piece of paper every bodily sensation that you can figure out that you had. So think about bodily sensations would be tenseness in my muscles. My breathing was rapid. My eyelids were fluttering. Whatever it is that you think was like you could notice, I want you to write on a piece of paper every bodily sensation that you had. Now, what I want to tell you guys is a lot of you were talking about having an urge, you were excited, you had desire, you had all these things happening because you had the food you self-identify is the one you can't control yourself. The majority of you have been controlling yourself just fine since we started this exercise. You have proven to yourself, one, you can be around the food when you have a thought change about it. We're experimenting. I don't know what you're thinking, but I've had one person say they've cried. One person has licked their food. And someone told me that they just had a store meet. So if you just had a store meet, I would invite you to go ahead and do your recovery worksheet while we're doing this call. This is a great opportunity for you to not make this a big deal and to just step into the person that looks at what happened and starts examining it and going over what can they learn. Some people said they've felt comfort knowing they're not alone in this. Guess what, Nina? You don't have to be on a call with 336 of your best friends. You're never alone in it, ever. If you feel alone in your urges, guys, it is because you're thinking no one gets it. You're thinking lonesome thoughts. It is not because you are alone. You know now that so many people get really excited around these foods. They get very antsy around these foods. Our mouths water. We have an increased desire and we want it. But what you just did when you like sunk into your body, everything that you felt physically was the worst of it. That's what food urges are. Food urges are a manifestation of our habit brain seeing food that in the past that we've ate and liked. And so it goes ahead and it sends us a few things. It says, I'm going to give you a little bit of dopamine ahead of time so that you know how this might relax you, how this might feel good. I'm also going to give you some cortisol because I need to jack you up a little bit. I need to get the mouth watering. I need to do the things because your ass is too lazy to go get it without it. And then if you're sitting there watching me think for a minute, guess what else? I'm going to throw in a little bolus of some adrenaline just to make sure some anxiety kicks in too. And then your body is sitting there and it's running through chemicals. That is food urges. It is sentences plus hormones, sentences plus vibrations in the body. And that's what we are spending so much time afraid of figuring out. So here's the next step. Everybody gets a bite. You get one bite, one sip, one whatever, one sip, Kathy Hartman, not a chug. You get one. Do it now. I know how Kathy is. She's just like, somebody just get me. What is it? What is it when you do the hose? When you're it's like you do keg stands and stuff. A funnel. Could y'all even imagine for a minute Kathy Hartman doing a funnel? I mean, that's enough to just make you sit through an urge. Just imagine that. Kathy, we should have you like do a keg stand with beer and then we'll record it. And then when everybody has an urge, that's their reward. Rather than eating, they get to watch that little video. All right. So now that you've taken your bite, I want you to write about how that bite felt. Like, how did it taste? One bite was actually three. Then you need to write, I took three bites and here's how it tasted. Don't make it a big deal. Like, it tasted like this. I chewed it maybe this many times. Like, I want you to really think about, no, sensory heaven is not what it tasted like. That's what's going on in your head. It's going to, like, for a lot of you, it's going to, it should be like, if you brought food that was really good, unless some of y'all brought kibble, like, if I had a big ass plate of nachos right here, I would be like, it's crunchy, gooey, nice and salty, blah, blah, blah. For some of you, it's been sitting out. It's not that great. For some of you, you've never like slowed down long enough to know it's like, oh, it's not as tasty. Like, my brain thinks it's amazing when I'm having it because I know how I feel. But the actual like rolling it around in my mouth, maybe not so much. Okay. So now everybody take another bite. You get one, Jill, you get one bite. If you don't want to take a bite because yours don't taste so good, then stop. That's just a choice. I'm panicked because I forgot to put this on my plan. Tasha, let me just, y'all, listen to how y'all describe stuff. I'm panicked. What's the worst that's going to happen, Tasha? That you learn how to control yourself around this food and you get some nuggets off this. This is the off-plan eating that we don't worry about. This is not developing a bad habit. Cara, it was in the massive action line today that we're going to do some recovery worksheet stuff later. Right now, we're doing an experiment with our favorite binge food. You can always listen to this call again. Like, there's 300 of us here. There's over 7,000 in the tribe. So 6,500 plus people will be doing this on their own. So it'll be cool. So I want you guys to really emphasize, like some of you are like going back to what you're afraid of and stuff. I don't care about your fears right now. I want you to concentrate on how it tastes in your mouth. That's it. I don't care if you want to finish the chip. I want to know how it tastes in your mouth. That's what we're writing down. We're writing down how, like it tastes a little bitter. Like if you're drinking wine, it may be it's buttery, blah, blah, blah. And this is what I will tell you. Sometimes the second bite, you'll notice it's still really good, but it's not as salty as that first bite. Somebody said, now the second bite's a little too sweet. Tastes salty and crunchy. Remember, I don't care if you want more. Like, guys, it doesn't matter if you want more, and it doesn't matter if you want to stop. Y'all, I can tell by your comments, you're judging yourselves. There's no right or wrong here. Guess what we're doing? We're figuring out how it tastes in our mouth on every bite. What we are doing is we're eating deliberately and on purpose and paying attention. Rather than what you're normally doing, just be like, just gotta get this done. And then next thing you know, you've ate a carton or you've drank all of it and you don't know that it was dry and smooth. You don't know any of this. So, hey, some of y'all, I know you know these things, but like the next bite, I want you to pay 1,000% more attention to how it is in your mouth. Now it's time for bite three. 1,000% more about what it's like in your mouth. What are your taste buds? How does it feel on your teeth? Like, what is it like? Like when you finish the bite and you like really figure out what's going on in your mouth. Okay. They should be taking sips. They shouldn't be guzzling. The wow is gone. So our brain may start getting used to it. It's not as exciting. It's just good now. Getting a little greasy. There's a kernel stuck in my teeth. I can make a peanut M&M last a long time. Some people say it's like it's still good, still just as good. All right. Now everybody stops. I want to tell you about this exercise. We've been doing it for years at our smaller events and stuff. It's called Tedious and Powerful. This is a worksheet that is inside the tribe right now, Kathy. Some people are still crunchy and enjoying it. I want you guys to think about a couple things. For some of you, the experience changed. It went by and the food got a little less exciting. It wasn't as good. It wasn't that it wasn't good, but you notice it was like, like I could probably eat M&Ms a lot slower. I probably wouldn't have to rifle them down to have a few M&Ms each day if I really wanted to. There's no reason why I couldn't. They last a long time and taste really good. Some of you notice I have made this food out to be amazing and like, you know, my life and all this other stuff. But when I'm having to eat slow and deliberate, first few bites are good, but when it starts getting kind of room temperature and whatnot, not so good. Some foods that we think we're addicted to, if we really ate with deliberate attention, we notice that, hey, like there's a film in my mouth. I never noticed a film in my mouth before because I've ate so fast. The point of this exercise is really for you guys to think about if every time I had one of these foods, and I ate it this purposeful paying this close attention to it, would my relationship with it change? That's the question. Most of us have a lot of thoughts about this food, about they can't control themselves. If you did this exercise and you just ate, what did we do? 3 or 4 bites? And you didn't just inhale it and shove it all down. You proved one thing. You controlled yourself during those bites. And if you did end up eating all of it and you couldn't stop, or you chose not to stop, then you've learned something else. It's time to every single time eat slower and slower and slower until I get to the point that I can stop when I want to. This is conscious eating. This is a way for us to start learning how to eat the foods we think we have no control over, but we do. Now, this is what we're going to do. I want you to set the food aside, and I want you to stay present on this call. I don't want you to throw it away. I don't want you to take it anywhere. I don't want you to do anything other than have it sitting right there, and then I want you to pay attention to our call, okay? Who wants to get coached tonight? Just raise your hand if you do. Kristen, you're first. Kirsten, I'm sorry. Well, it's not bringing you up. All right, Aubrey, I'm going to bring you up. Saul, somebody said, I never eat that slowly, especially not my binge foods. Just imagine if you just decided to start eating slowly just to experience it, to see what's happening. Hey, Aubrey.
Hi.
All right, what do you want to get coached on?
So I didn't bring any food.
Okay.
So I'm visualizing, and I'm trying to visualize with the best one I have. I have a spreadsheet of all my overeats, so I filtered them to try to find out the foods. And I don't know that I have like a binge food. I usually go off plan. And so it's more like the social eating is really what kind of does it for me.
Okay. So what's the problem?
Well, I'm trying to just figure out how to use this process in like to repeat it, I guess, in a social setting, because when I think
just
about
eat
like
slow.
Food,
eat slow.
Like at a
go to a party and eat one bite at a time, very deliberately, and listen to the conversation.
Oh God.
Yeah. It's okay. Not that you don't know how to do it. It's like, that's not going to be fun.
No.
Let me ask you, how fun is it when you have to do a recovery worksheet?
It's, oh my gosh. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the worst that will happen is this is what will happen. You will go to a social situation. You'll eat slower. You'll be forced to be present with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what happens.
Hmm. I just don't, I feel like I know what you're going to say, but I don't like the idea of like drawing attention to myself while everyone's eating, or I'm just like trying to be really slow and meditating.
So if you're just eating one bite at a time, that's drawing attention to yourself. I could see how everybody would be like, oh my God. Did you see her? She took a bite and put her fork down. That's crazy talk. I mean, what is she even doing over there?
Okay.
I don't think you're worried about drawing attention to yourself from them. You're going to get your own attention. That's the first line of attention. Like, here's what will happen. Somebody may look at you and your brain will be like, I bet they're thinking about me eating slow. I bet they're judging me. That's your attention. That's not theirs. That's your thoughts about them. So when you're not shoveling it in, you have to listen to what you think about what everybody else is thinking.
Should I write it down while it's happening?
No, you don't have to. If you're going to do this socially, I think for all of you, like now, I will say it will draw attention if you're like, hey, y'all. I'm so glad to be here. You know, when we eat dinner, don't mind me. I'm just taking notes of every bite that I eat.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to, that's awesome. And I'd be like, go. But you can do this same exercise in your head. Like you literally can. You can just take a bite, put the fork down, and listen to what comes up in your head.
Mm.
And it will be like, I wonder what they're thinking of me. This is so good. I wish I could just eat this faster. But ask yourself before you start eating faster, why am I wanting to focus so much on the food and turn off what's going on around me and in my head? Just ask the question, let your brain populate. It's like, well, because I'm worried what other people think or whatever it will come up with, but just know that's why you're off plan. That's like, then it will make sense why you're off plan eating in the moment. Mm-hmm. But the fastest way to figure out why this keeps happening socially is to slow it down socially and listen for what you're not wanting to hear in the moment.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And like, I can imagine a couple of things already that are coming up and I'm going to write them down now, but yeah, I have plenty of situations coming up where I can practice this.
Yeah. You'll get used to it too. The first few times it will just feel odd. Like you'll have like whatever it is that comes up in your head. Like, you know, for a lot of people, if they're like, if they're self-conscious, like I see this happen a lot in the tribe. It's like, I'm very self-conscious around other people. I worry what other people think. So when I go to eat, I want to eat to keep myself busy so I don't have to listen to me thinking they probably don't think I'm good enough or, you know, like whatever it is that we think other people think. So we eat to compensate and busy ourselves through that. When you take the food away, you're left with that conversation. And that part is going to be super uncomfortable. On top of, if you're just used to eating at a certain pace, your brain will be like, why are we eating so slow? Like it will just want to eat faster because it always eats fast. Like this is the pace I eat. And it will, like, I just know even for me, like I'm a notorious fast eater. When I am practicing eating deliberately slow, my brain acts like a fucking crazy person. Like, oh my God, we should eat faster. Ooh, look at that bite over there. I mean, it just gets fixated because it wants to eat fast for no other good reason.
Okay.
So just know that it will be uncomfortable, but the worst part will be what we just did in the feelings thing. It will be all of those sensations in your body will be going, and that's why it will feel so uncomfortable.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
I also want to say this, guys. I was going to talk to you guys about resisting versus allowing an urge. What we did just now when we were like listening to our body and writing down our feelings and stuff, that's one way to allow an urge. Another way to allow an urge is to let all the garbage come up, like, oh my God, this is so hard. And you know how like your brain like legit thinks the world is ending when you cannot finish the tater tots? I mean, it literally acts like somebody is going to die if I don't eat them. Allowing it is like listening to your brain and almost finding it comical that that is the conversation it wants to have about an M&M or a tot. Resisting is thinking that that conversation is hurting you, is making this hard, that that conversation's doing something to you. Because then what happens is you have the conversation and then you have you over here arguing. Your conscious brain is now arguing with your habit brain. And what I want for when you're allowing an urge is for your conscious brain to watch your habit brain and almost laugh at it. And just be like, oh, sweet pea, it'll be okay. It's not that bad. All right. Christy. Hey guys, this is the time that if you have recovery worksheets, you can use them. Christy, all I'm seeing is your ceiling.
Oh, sorry. Not better.
That's okay. I was like, hello, ceiling. All right.
Sorry. Hi. So I just joined in September and this is my first time being coached.
All right.
A little kind of my background, binging. I used to, in college, I would feel homesick and alone and would drive over to Cub Foods and buy some like chocolate covered macadamia nuts and drive around by myself. And I thought I was this complete freak of nature until the last 6 months or so, because I thought I was the only person on the planet that did weird shit like that.
So, it's like, hell, there's like a whole tribe of these ladies.
I know, I love you guys. Thank you. 7,000 freaks. I love it. So I started a binge protocol since September, and I've gotten my those type of binges feeling better. Like I try really hard to just stop and take some deep breaths, drink a bottle of water, make some tea, go for a walk, journal, those kinds of things, which seem to help. But last night I ran into kind of a different situation for me, and I don't know how to stop myself, I guess. So I was making dinner, making mashed potatoes and gravy, or just mashed potatoes to go with our dinner. And so I tasted them as I'm cooking, and they're on plan.
Okay.
Tasted them, delicious, start eating them. And then I find that next thing I know, I've eaten like a whole serving of mashed potatoes before dinner.
Okay. So what's the problem?
What's that?
So then what do you think the problem is in that?
First, I kind of turned it into a fuck it moment to overeat. I made an excuse that it was on my plan and that I had done really well all day. But I think the bigger problem for me is I don't know how to stop. I didn't even realize it was happening for a while.
Okay.
So one little bite to taste how I was cooking didn't seem like a big deal. And then pretty soon I've eaten tons. And so by the time dinner came, I was already at a two.
Yeah.
And it was so good that I didn't want to not eat the steak and potatoes, so I ate it anyway. So by the time I got done, I was at a four and I felt like crap.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to sit down with my family and eat the meal and enjoy every stinking bite and not overeat.
But you didn't enjoy every stinking bite, did you?
No, the tasty bites, I didn't. And then I was like shoveling them in. Then I felt like I was being secretive. Like
but here's what I want you to think about. You had a thought of, I just want to sit with my family and really enjoy my dinner.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I might have misunderstood you. What did you say?
Your thought that's an error, like you're using it as like, this is why I did it. I just really wanted to sit and enjoy dinner with my family.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like, no, you didn't. You wanted to keep eating.
Yep, that's exactly right.
It's like, guys, this is really important. Very often we tell ourselves things like that, like, but it's normal to want to just sit and eat with your family. It's like, okay, then sit with your family and just know I am at a two. And if I don't eat with them, that doesn't mean I can't enjoy them for one.
Right.
It teaches me that I truly am going to, like, I know how to stop. I just didn't want to stop. There's a difference. You're like, I just don't know how to stop when this happens. Guys, you have to like, here's how you stop. It'd be like saying, I'm driving a car. I don't know how to stop the car. It's like you put your foot on the brake. But it seems so easy to just keep going. It's like, yeah, it does. It's the same with food. We think it's so different, and that's the problem. We think it's so different. And it's really not. You have to break it down to, this is one of those moments. I have had mashed potatoes. I have now caught myself. Rather than your story is, fuck it, I've messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I've been like, you know what? I have caught myself. I caught myself in this moment. This is the moment I caught myself in. Now what? Rather than, fuck, I'm never going to get control over this. I don't know how to stop. All I want to do is enjoy myself with my family. That's the conversation to be so aware of, because that's the conversation that's like so easy to just be like, I should eat. Like, you should just keep going. It's steak. It's our family. Are we really going to be a stain on the family?
Yeah, and it sounds so reasonable now, but last night
But that's why we do recovery worksheets.
Okay.
So that you can, you need to write, like, I love what you told the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go back and you read it and you ask yourself, do I really not know how to, like, look at the things that feel so helpless or so like charged, like, I don't know how to stop. You ask yourself, all right, if I did know how to stop, what would I have done?
Mm-hmm.
If I was Corinne, what would I have done? I probably would have been like, okay, no steak for me tonight. And that's okay. I am choosing learning how to not binge anymore over eating steak because I'm beating myself up over eating mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that through those recovery worksheets. You just look at the story first. Guys, all of you, you have to get out the story you're telling yourself, and you can't think that that story is a problem. It just now is a circumstance for you. This was the story I told myself. What are we going to do about this?
Okay, good. Good. Can I ask a question about my recovery worksheet?
Yes.
So often, I would say 70% of the time on my recovery worksheets, the only reason I can think of is because I wanted it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I should have some deep, awesome reason.
No.
But sometimes that's it.
What's better than I want it? Like, what do you think when a 3-year-old, like, you go to the store and the new Thomas Tank Engine is sitting right there and they're like, I saw him on TV. I want him. I want him. Do you think he's sitting there going, well, you know, back, you know, when I was 2, I have these deep memories of Thomas and I was denied once the little engine and now I'm going to have, this must be why I want it. No, you guys keep expecting your habit brain to be like an 85-year-old fucking woman with like, no. We call it the toddler brain for a reason because it acts like one. It just wants it. This is where, so your habit brain will always be like, I want Thomas now, not yesterday and not tomorrow. I want him now. And then your conscious brain is the one that's like the adult. The adult watches the habit brain. So the habit brain's always going to kick up your thoughts of, I just want it. Man, this tastes so good. Like, this is the best fucking mashed potatoes I think I might have ever made. I don't even know how I did this. And then you have to like let your conscious brain say, I know you want it, but is not a good enough excuse to have it anymore. So you listen for the conversation. And then what happens is when you say we're not having it and you tell yourself wanting it is no longer a good enough reason, you'll start hearing it more often. And then when we did the feelings things, all the chemicals come up. Like when we want it, we're not so much in chemical land. We're in the like beginning stages of like, ooh, that looks good. It just looks a little sexy. And then when we're trying not to have it, suddenly it's like, oh my God, I must have it. Like, I feel antsy. Like, my mouth's watering. It is so uncomfortable. And it's because we're used to getting what we want in the short term. And we're not letting our conscious brain say, like, 90 seconds, this will pass. Can you sit through it for 90 seconds? Then you start letting your conscious brain negotiate what we're going to do, how we're going to think. We're going to write down, before we eat, we're required to at least figure out what our feelings are in our body. We at least need to know all of it. Like, that's where your conscious brain is like, I'm the parent in the room. And it's like, before we get a Thomas the Tank thing, we're going to have to do all of this first.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah. It's kind of just a game. It's a game plan, but I just think the more we know about what's going on, the easier it is to try new things, my seat won't go down. The easier it also is to be okay with trying and it not working, but trying again. Just because the first 30 times you watch your habit brain throw a fit and you give in, every single time, make it a little different. Every single time, like, never say, like, I'm just giving up on the process of changing how I think because the first 5 didn't work. Just be like, I don't know when it's going to work, but it for sure won't work if I quit on it. And that has, like, sometimes that's the negotiation you make. And you may still eat your mashed potatoes and steak, but at least you did this piece. You start making your brain earn every overeat that it wants. Eventually, it won't want to do all that work. It makes overeating more painful because it has to work for it. Right now, there's no pain involved. It's just like, all right.
Okay, good. That is awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's see, what time is it? All right, we got time. Hey, Brew. Make sure everyone right now, while I bring on K-Brew, I want everyone to look at their food right now. I want you to take a big smell of it. No licking. I want you to examine it. Pick it up. Handle it. Somebody notice it smells better than it tasted. Everybody gets one bite or one sip. And if you don't want it, you're done. You have now made the decision. You're just done. There's no like, well, I still want it. I don't care if you still want it, then have the bite. But I want you to have a very conscious, a very deliberate, delayed gratification bite. And then I want you to notice really clearly what's going on in your mouth. And then I want you to set it aside again. And now I'm going to talk to Kay Brew.
Hi, you can call me Katie.
And you couldn't even get your bite while we were on camera.
Oh, that's okay. I've had plenty.
All right.
I was talking with my family at dinner tonight, and it was an unplanned meal. And we were talking about something that was kind of stressful. And I thought I was handling it just fine and feeling my feelings and doing what I needed to do. And we had actually taken, I had eaten to my plus two. We had taken the food and put it aside for a leftover meal for lunch the next day. And it was for my wife. She was taking it to work. So before I even know it, I take a piece of the grilled zucchini that we had, and I was already chewing on it by the time I realized that I had been eating it.
Okay.
And so I said to her, I said, well, I think I'm going to have to grill another zucchini so that you have some zucchini tomorrow. And immediately I just was thinking, who does that?
Someone gaining awareness of their food. That's who does it.
So I was trying not to be too hard on myself because I said, you know, I'm thinking this is something that I'm aware of. I was able to catch it. Unfortunately, yeah. It was already there.
But there's no unfortunately. Why do we even need to say unfortunately? Like I want you to listen. Like you're dropping it. You're like telling like, well, here's the positive, but let's not get too happy. Let's just make sure we shit on ourselves just a little bit. There's no unfortunately.
Yeah, that's not a good idea, huh?
No, that's self-loathing. Like love yourself through the process. It's the only option.
Right.
Like I ate zucchini. I grilled another one. I caught myself doing it. I'm going to do my recovery worksheet. This will just be another lesson on my way down. That's it. Like, there's no, like, this was a bad thing that happened to me. What if this, like, was the, like, I want all of you to suspend your belief for a hot second. What if this was the one time you caught yourself eating that for the next 3 months, it made every time that you were eating and you didn't know you were doing it, where you caught yourself right before you took the bite?
That would be fucking awesome.
Well, and that's exactly what has to happen at some point. At mm-hmm. some point, you have to have these kinds of overeats that aren't unfortunate at all. They're setting you up for the time when every single bite after this doesn't just happen to you anymore. It's like, I really notice now. I used to never notice. Not until that day that I caught myself doing that zucchini thing.
Right. That so it's just a step towards discovery then. Just
yes,
one every, step more.
Every overeat. Guys, I want you guys to think, if you described your mistakes the way I described them to you, how different would you show up for your 24-hour plan? Would you show up for your weekly plan? Would you show up for your assessments and every freaking worksheet?
That's great. So then I will reframe this. Discussion
Thank you.
Then.
Thank you.
I noticed that I was having a foggy and I know what caused it now, mm-hmm. thinking about it, that I was a little bit stressed during the discussion.
Yeah.
And next time I think I'm just going to be very aware when I'm starting to feel a little antsy that I need to be aware of the fact that if there's food within reach, that might not be something that's a good idea. Or if
there's food around, I need to pay real close attention.
Right.
Like I need to listen a little more. And the other thing, there's one big thing that you're missing. Let me just give it to you.
Please.
Figure out why you keep saying this was stressful.
Okay.
Always remember stress is on the feeling line.
Right.
And there's a conversation that was had. And your thoughts about it are stressful. your thoughts, not this was stressful.
So
the real solve is like this overeat is telling you, you got some work to do on this stressful thing that you're like self-describing as it just is stressful.
Time to do a TDL for that.
Time to do a TDL on that part.
Thank God you have those. Thank you.
It's like the bonus to this overeat.
Hooray.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
You're really welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, we got 8 more minutes. I'm going to answer a couple of questions and we're going to coach one more person. And then I'm going to tell you how we finish this exercise. You get to take another bite. If you still want one, if you don't, then set it aside. You don't throw it away. You don't do anything, but you're still doing the same thing. I'm taking a bite. I'm rolling around in my mouth. I'm really evaluating it. I'm doing the things. I've been just following my urges and eating off plan for 3 days and don't do recovery worksheets. I don't really know why I don't do them. Well, you have to ask yourself, why am I not doing them? Do I think they're going to be valuable or do I think they're going to be hard? Do I think they're going to teach me something or do I think they're going to be a waste of my time? Do I think that they're going to tell me something horrible about myself? Do I think I'm broken? Like that is exactly why you will or you will not do them. Go back to the very beginning when I was talking in this call and I talked about recovery worksheets. I want you to do the exercise where you do the thought download on the recovery worksheets on like mistakes and things like that. How come if I don't take a bite of urge foods in a social situation, I'm fine. But once I take the first bite, then the food is all I can think about. Your brain lights up. So every time you've ate that food, you've had associated thoughts and you've had associated chemicals with it. So every time you've ate that food in the past, when you take a bite, it's naturally going to tap on those neurons or what do you call it? Like all the little circuits in your brain. Let's put it that way. So it's naturally going to tap on those and it's just going to send up its usual stuff. That's fine. Just know that your brain is working normally and that if you take a bite and you stop and you just kind of like watch that you want it and stuff, eventually what happens is if you don't just keep eating, your brain keeps sending a signal to keep eating. It's like, oh, I guess we don't just keep eating that anymore. It's just got to rewire the brain. Got to rewire the brain. The brain, guys, it's called neuroplasticity, if any of you want to look it up. But it's basically what we have found, especially in recent years, because I've studied this some. I'm not going to be the best at the science, but I will tell you this. When I was studying Logan when he was little and he was diagnosed and stuff, you know, when we first got diagnosed, they just didn't think the brain was like one of those things that could change and repair, like do all the things. Well, they have found in recent years that your brain can be rewired and be retaught and like all the things all your life. It's like plastic. It can be molded. It can be formed. Most of us just give up on our brain because it's going to be hard. And so we just keep doing the same hard-ass shit to ourselves all the time rather than just doing a little work on rewiring it and forming new habits and new ways of thinking. This is why, like, it's not just about you guys forming new habits. If just forming new habits, like I love like atomic habits and all those things, those are great tactics. But if they're not surrounded by you having new thoughts around it and changing how you think about the process, just doing new habits alone usually won't work just because you won't make it long enough. You'll talk yourself out of it. All right. Kafkeb, you're up. You're the last one. We're going to do more of these guys, so don't worry. All right, lady. Oh, wait, you're muted. Your sound's not working. I've unmuted you on my end.
Hello. Okay. Oh, sorry. All right. So my drama came up not so much while we were doing the exercise, but beforehand, like going, you can actually take that.
We kind of.
Yeah. Well, share it with your brother. I have 2 teenage boys that are super excited about chips. Okay, goodbye.
Are they taking your chips you were eating?
Yeah.
That's like, hilarious.
So my drama came up in actually going to purchase something that's an urge food. Like I think I restrict them so much and I was getting like all this like stress and anxiety, like even at the store buying them.
Yeah.
So like, what is that in the, like,
it's just your thoughts. It's just your thoughts around it. That's it. Yeah. It's like, what did you tell me what you like? I was stressed because I was thinking, what about, did you buy chips?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was stressed because I was thinking,
I actually bought
what
chips
about
and Snickers because I couldn't decide which Urge food to buy first of all. So I had to buy two, of course.
That's all right.
And then I was like, okay, is this, should I buy the little one? Should I buy the big one? Like what? And I wasn't, I don't think it was so much, I was trying to analyze it and I was thinking, is it because I'm worried about what people think? And I think in the past it probably was.
Yeah.
I think I just don't want it in my house.
So why? Why don't you want it in your house?
I feel tempted by it.
Because I get tempted by it. So?
Yeah. So I don't trust myself, I think.
That's why we get nervous and stressed when we go buy it.
Yeah.
I don't trust myself around these foods.
Yeah.
How are you ever going to trust yourself around the foods if you never practice being around the foods?
Yeah, that's true. I have no idea.
You don't.
That's why we're here.
You strengthen fear. When you refuse to do these kinds of things, guys, when you refuse to do the work around having the foods, like I'm not saying like you got to go buy Snickers and have them laying out amongst your house all the time, but every now and then, plan a Snicker.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on your plan. Start proving to yourself, like, you know what? I can control it. Because here's the weirdest part of it all. When you don't go to the grocery store to go get it and you keep it out of your house, like, I don't trust myself to be around it. It's like, well, you obviously trust yourself not to drive to the store. I mean, like, you're already controlling it. You're just controlling it in a way that makes you feel anxious and bad.
Yeah.
I want you to have control because you're just like, you know what? I'm going to learn how to coexist with a Snicker. I'm not going to keep them in my house right now, but every now and then, like if I know this is a food that like when I think, like all of you do this, think about some of the foods that you think you can't control yourself around and whatever, and do like five sentences on it, like five thoughts you have, and then just decide, I'm going to work one at a time on foods, on planning to do a worksheet once a week on them. Mm-hmm. Doing this process, get with your accountability groups. You guys can always do Tedious and Powerful together. Zoom allows you to do free accounts. Y'all, we have a lot of accountability groups that come on Zoom together. Do these worksheets and just everybody bring your food. Everybody eat it together. Talk about what's going on. Improve yourself. It's like, you know, I really can control myself. Because we have like 300 people on this call right now. And like, I have not really had, like, there may be one or two people that ended up eating their food out of 300 mm-hmm. who have said they can't control. You controlled yourself around chips.
Yeah. I just proved I could.
And it wasn't because I said, like, that's going to be all of your thoughts. That is not the thought. Mm-hmm. The thought is, Corinne said don't eat. And then I had a thought, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to follow the rules of this exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to participate, whatever it is.
Right.
You decided to be in control. It was not a Corinne thing.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Just all the awareness, you know, it's so key to figuring all of this out.
It is.
Being aware of it. And I did that for Halloween. I put one Snicker on my plan just because I knew I'd want one and I knew the kid would be everywhere. And I didn't want to steal from the children. So I went and I bought myself one Snicker that day and I ate it with total awareness and it was fine. And I didn't want another one the next day. Like, I think I like have this irrational thing that like, oh, I'm going to have to buy more. I'm going to want more tomorrow or, you know, I'm going to get addicted to it. That kind of thought runs through your head.
And that's the thing is to understand if your brain is throwing out those sentences that that's not true.
Right.
It's just the way you're thinking about it right now. One of the things I would tell you guys is like, don't put things on your plan like, well, I know I'm going to want it.
Right.
Put it on your plan. It's just like, you know what? I do want it. Rather than I know I'm going to want to, just say I'm choosing to put it on my plan. I'm really a stickler for how you talk to yourself. I just think any time that we can talk to ourselves in a, what I would just call a leveled up way is great. Mm-hmm. So like the next time, like if it's, say it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, just say, I want to have a cookie. So I am planning to have a cookie rather than I know I'm going to want one. Almost like, well, I know I'm going to want one. So I'm going to go ahead and plan one. Just to make sure that I'm not doing it right. You know what I mean? There's like such a nervous energy about it.
Yeah. There's almost like an anxiety in your tone even when you say it that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Awesome.
Okay. Well, thank you. I hope your kids enjoy the chips.
I'm like, I have two teenagers. They'll eat them.
Yeah, that would be well, actually, Logan's not a big chip fan. His daddy is the chip fan. Logan, he has other tastes.
That was the other thing I was kind of playing with when I was like having the anxiety too, is that like I'm very close to a goal and I'm like, I don't want to mess up my goal by doing this experiment, but I knew it would be helpful. So I was like, yes. Okay.
And I think that's the thing is like, is having this in a controlled way going to screw up the long-term goal of like freedom from food?
No.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I cannot remember the lady's name. What was the lady's name? Was it Kev? Oh, Kath Kebb. All right. I'm calling on you. And then we're going to get out of here. Hadn't had dinner. Y'all all been snacking. I ain't had no dinner. Hello. I can't hear you. I'm not sure what's going on, babe. Why don't you post it in the Facebook group and tag me and I'll respond over there. I'll get Mary Jo to let me know. Okay. Bye. All right. So here's the finisher for this. Everyone, stand up. Go throw it away. Pour it down the sink. Whatever you've got, we're done. This was an experiment. This was not all the things. And then come back. I'm going to give everybody like 20, 30 seconds to go do it. Toss, toss, toss. Throw, throw, throw. All the things. All right. So this is what I want you guys to do. Now that we've done this part, I want you to write about just your general thoughts of this whole experiment, your thoughts about eating it slow, your thoughts about doing this again on your own, even if you listen to this again and just listen to it again, your thoughts about possibly doing it with your accountability groups, and your thoughts about throwing it away. Some of you right now are like, that sucks. I didn't realize we'd be throwing our food away. The funniest thing about this exercise is that a lot of times people are like, oh my gosh, I just knew that I was going to binge. I just knew I was going to eat all of it. I just knew these things. Here's what I want to end on. I want you guys to quit thinking you just know things. Just like I was talking about with our last caller, I just know I'm going to want it. You don't know anything. This is what I would love for all of you to think. I don't know jack shit anymore. All I know is every moment is the chance to make my next best decision. And I'm capable and I'm learning and I will continue to keep learning and I will figure out how to have that normal, peaceful, just easy relationship with food. I think that's been like one of the best things that's ever happened for me is just I don't have anxiety about food, guys. And it's not that I don't overeat. It's not that I don't eat off plan or whatever, but I never get shaken that I can't do this anymore or that food is controlling me. I have that core belief, like, I've got this. I don't have to be perfect to have it. And I just, like, if there's anything I ever want all of my tribe members to leave with, it's that. So, you guys have a good one. What is today? Thursday? I'll see y'all Saturday. So we have a call with Kathy and me to talk about Kathy and I's relationship weekend we're doing in March. And then at noon, weekly planning and live coaching. And we're doing it on Saturday because I'm traveling on Sunday and I didn't want to miss you guys this week. So we're going to hit it up on Saturday. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.